No one really knows Ron Van Dam. He's an enigma wrapped in a mystery, cloaked in secrets, stuffed in between two pieces of French toast encased in a pancake, smothered in cheese and deep fried until golden brown, then duct taped into a rusty toolbox, packed into a used Amazon shipping container with gaffer's tape, and mailed overnight to a bunker in Siberia where it's kept in a locked vault, whose combination is known only to a mute priest with a bad memory. So yeah, he's sort of a keeps-to-himself kind of guy. You're listening to that man of mystery, Ron Van Dam, on New England Broadcasting.
Sorry, I don't know that.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, all right.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, enough already. Stop it. Hey, welcome to the program, such as it is. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be with you in just a couple of minutes. Looks like I'll be with you right now. Sorry. Hey, welcome to the show. This is the Friday edition of the program, which means it's the Friday edition of the program. I don't know how else to tell you this. Look it up in the dictionary, look under Friday edition of the show, and you'll see the description that says this is the Friday edition of the show. It's not difficult. That means that I don't do the show on the weekends. I'm too busy doing nothing. So this is going to carry you over if you need a fix. It sounds horrible, doesn't it? Yeah, I only do the show on weekdays, the days of the week, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Weekdays do not include Saturday and Sunday, therefore that is not included in your package. Please check with your operator to get more information on packages. Packages do include the program, the beginning, the end, and the middle. If you're interested in upgrading to something more than that, it's not available. Sorry, upgrades are not available on this program. Let me point out the exits. There's one over there. There's one over there. One over there. Oh, no, don't use that one. That is not working. There's just one over there and one over there. In the case of emergency, you're urged to go to use one of those exits. One over there, and not that one. Don't use that one. That is a 50-foot drop into hell. Don't use that exit. Please extinguish all cigarettes. No smoking is available unless you get the upgrade. The upgrade will get you an extra piece of fish and some peanuts. Please keep your seatbelt fastened while the show is in motion. If for any reason the show should become horribly boring, please stay in your seat and contact your provider for an upgrade. The upgrade does include the extra points. If you achieve enough points by listening to this show, you'll have more points than if you didn't. And that would be the benefit to that. We do have a program within the program that's part of the program where if you require more leg room, that's just a shame because we don't have legroom. Children are not allowed to listen to the program, not because the show is disgusting or anything like that. It's just I don't care for children. And this is a way of me avoiding children for at least half an hour. I have a reputation, I think, for not enjoying the company of children. And I think that is so unfair to the children because they're missing out on me. I am actually a loving, caring individual. Unless you're a child, then, go home, go to your parents. Your parents love you. They gave birth to you. They cared for you. They set up a relationship with you. I have nothing to do with that, you see. Just because I'm a human adult doesn't mean that I particularly care for you. If you think that's the case, you're delusional. Why do you think people don't fly on airplanes? It's because there are children in there. You're stuck in a tube with screaming children for up to 6-7 hours. Nobody goes into that knowingly. No one thinks about that. Oh, I can't wait to take that long flight, that long transcontinental flight, just so I can hear children scream and squirm all over the place. I love that. We love our children. Children are nothing but, and I'm not degrading them. I'm going to give them an upgrade in a second. Children are nothing but little human beings running around with small heads and small bodies, unaware of the way they should act or meld into society. They have absolutely no concept whatsoever. And some of them never, ever do, even when they grow into be adults. But children, no, by law, they are not, they're not developed yet. They don't have all their parts. Some parts are missing on some children. And they mentally have not grown out of infancy. And for them to be melded into society without having the societal skills in order to meld into society, they need to be cared for. You have to pay for them. You have to make decisions for them. You have to nurture them. You have to take care of their health. That's a lot. That's a lot. Do you ever see birds in a nest? I have. There's a mama bird and a father bird. Sometimes, you know, not necessarily two birds, just like in human life, you know. Sometimes there's a sugar bird, you know. Sometimes there's a, there's all different bird configurations. But they have a nest. And the parents go out and they get various materials and they bring it back to a location. They build a nest and then they have some eggs and some bacon and they're in the nest and they make the children. And they feed the children with their mouths. They feed them worms and various things like that. And then when the children are old enough, they fly away. Sounds simple. So why is it so complicated for humans? I mean... I don't know. See, I've never breastfed. I wanted to, but the women won't let me do that anymore. No, I am not able to. I mean, I have breasts just like you do. Just like you do. Except for they're not as large and they don't produce milk. I can't breastfeed. I've tried. The end result was people just biting on my nipples, and that was not pleasurable. So I don't think it's supposed to be. I don't know. I don't get that part of it. Anyway, I digress. Children are wonderful. They really are. But here's the thing with children. And maybe it's just me, and it probably is. I think it's more just you. When your friends, you know, they're a married couple, they're not married, whatever, and they have a child, and you go over to their place, and you see the child for the first time, you have to act excited. You're not excited to see their child. It's just something you have to do. It's just going to get in the way of things now. But hey, you know, they're starting a family, fine. Or they already have a child. We're aware that you have a child. Now you had another one. Who made that decision? So I have to look at it. So get in the car and go over to see the to visit this couple to see their child for the first time. And they take you into the nursery or something like that. And you see this little undeveloped human being. And you have to say, by law, it's in the Bible, you have to say, oh my God, that's the cutest baby I've ever seen. You know it's not. You know it's not. All babies look the same, really. They're just little things that are squirming around and are helpless. And adorable? A puppy is adorable. A young child is okay. That's nice. That's it, man. That's all. That's all I get. It's the only emotion I get from looking at somebody's little child. It's like, okay, Nice. Now, where's the food? I mean, like, come on. You have to be nice. You have to say, oh my God, that child is your child is adorable. It looked just like Frank. It doesn't look like Frank at all. I mean, Frank, granted, Frank is bald and senseless and a pain in the ass and has to be told what to do 24 hours a day just because he's Frank. In that sense, yeah, it looks just like Frank, acts just like Frank, sure. But in other sense, no. I mean, you know, that's your problem, man. But, like, thank you for inviting me over to see your child. Adorable. I'll say it because I have to. You can't say what you really feel under those circumstances. Look, here's our child. This is the first time you're seeing our little infant. What do you think, huh? Oh my God. Disgusting. Ugh. Facial features have not been developed, and that is, whoa, wow. Which orifice did that come out of? Because I don't think it was done properly. Wow. You got to choose who you have sex with in the future because, whoa, man, you got to be a bit more discerning here because that is, wow. What the hell happened here? Did you drink all through your pregnancy? What the hell? You can't say that. That would be awful. You have to use the word adorable somewhere in your sentence. It makes the other person feel good. Hey, here's a clue for you. Not everybody on the planet can have children, female-wise, but most can. And it's an incredible accomplishment to be able to create life. But guess what? It's not a talent. Everybody can do that, you know, whether they want to or not. So I'm just saying. You know, you meet people and, hi, how are you? Do you have any talents? I can play the piano. Wow, that's a real talent. Can you play for me? Sure. Wow, that is enjoyable. You have a real talent. You know, that's a talent. Or, oh my God, look at, you're an artist. What a beautiful portrait. You've look at the beautiful landscape. That's, wow, I can't do that. You're incredible. You're really like amazing. And you really mean it. But someone says, here, this is a child that I created with my husband. Oh, okay. Wow. You know, that's nice. You know, anybody can do that. I'm just saying. And we all think we're great parents, don't we? We all think we're the best parents in the world. Okay, sure. Go on. Think that. That's a good thing to think. Ask your children. Yeah, they were good. I mean, you know, what do you want? It's not like a Yelp review. You know, you were a child to Betty and John Ford. Could you rate them, please, now that you're an adult? Please rate them. Number of stars and why you rated them accordingly. You could fill that one out, huh? You could fill that one out. Unless you're really nice and you would give them 5 stars anyway, even though they beat the shit out of you when you were a child. You know, it is whatever. Anyway, this is not what I wanted to talk about today, but you started this and you're going to finish it. I do have an interesting guest coming up momentarily. It's a bit of an extended interview. Hope you don't mind. And we're going to do that, but first we're going to take a little commercial word because someone's got to pay for this, and obviously you have refused to do this, so someone must pay, literally. You know, our announcer is a really nice guy, but he's a little lonely.
Because you listen to the Ron Van Dam Show, I know that you are a classy, intelligent person. And so I've been meaning to ask if maybe I could get your number. If you're not doing anything this weekend, maybe we could get together and, I don't know, talk about Ron over a couple drinks. I mean, we don't have to talk about Ron, but he is kind of the thing that brought us together. So, well, you let me know. For right now, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
David Hadass joins us now. He's an attorney, and he's involved in a very interesting case, and we'll speak to him now. How you doing there, David?
Good morning, Ron. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Pleasure to be with you here. You know, many people get into situations, and they don't know whether it's time to contact an attorney or not, but here's a situation that apparently you're involved with a Methuen woman, as I understand it, who sought you out for a lawsuit.
That's right.
And apparently she was with a company. Can I mention the company's name?
Yeah, sure.
It was a Sodexo, which is quite a large company. And she apparently was fired for what she felt was not a good reason and shouldn't have been fired. Can you tell me the story involved with her?
Yeah, sure. The woman's name is Bernadette Coughlin. She worked, as you mentioned, for this large international food services company called Sodexo.
Yeah.
Over the past year or so, with marijuana being declared legal in Massachusetts,
right,
she would occasionally, in the evening at home, smoke a little pot.
Right.
And her employer drug tested her.
Mm-hmm.
Several days after she fell at work in a kitchen, just slipped on the floor, you know,
right,
just something that could happen to anybody.
Yes, it has.
But they apparently have a policy where if you are in some workplace accident, no matter how minor, that they're going to test you and see what's potentially in your system.
Right.
Came back positive for marijuana. I want to be 100% clear here.
Mm-hmm.
She was not impaired on the job at all. This
right.
If you smoke pot, it's going to be in your system for several weeks, and could come up positive on a drug test.
Right.
And once the test came back positive, despite the fact that she's a lovely woman who was a great employee, had good reviews, great reviews. Everyone liked her very much. They fired her.
Right.
And so we have brought a case. It's currently pending in arbitration to challenge this conduct by the employer, which I and many other people who've heard the story think was terribly unfair.
Now, had you mentioned that she was smoking marijuana at home, or where this accident occurred? Was that in her home or at the workplace?
The accident was at work.
Okay.
She's a food services manager in a hospital.
Right.
She's not employed by the hospital.
Right.
She's employed by this company,
right,
Sodexo.
Right, and they place people in situations like that, right.
Yeah, and just a slip and fall in the kitchen.
Right. Oh, so the kitchen was at, okay, I got you. When you said kitchen, I assumed it was in
the
home. Okay.
Right, so, the cafeteria
right.
kitchen.
Did she claim any type of injury through the company, or there was no claim placed at all based on her falling?
No, there's no claim of
No disability fall, or anything, right?
No, I mean the normal there's a normal workers' comp claim when you get injured on the job. She was out for some period of weeks with a cast on her arm.
Okay, all right.
Some compensation
all
for
right.
that.
Okay, is it the position of the company that their insurance company would require this, or did they say it was a company requirement?
This was purely a company policy. There's no
right.
no need whatsoever for it. It's just something that
okay.
is their internal
right.
policy.
It's interesting to many because there's a huge population that does smoke marijuana, kind of always has, and they do it in their home. With the Massachusetts legalizing it, let me get it clear. It's a state allowance, not a federal allowance. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Under federal law, it's still what's called a Schedule I drug, and it's prohibited. Yeah. Enforced at the federal level, for the most part. I mean, maybe the feds would go after big time drug kingpens and drug dealers
as a way, not
users.
As a way to get into their searches and things like that. That's weird. You can do this in the home. I think you always could in the home, actually. I think that was always the deal. And I'm sure many people don't understand why the company would take that position, but they probably respond, that's company policy and that's the end of it, which leads me to the question, can companies indeed, because they're independent private sources, unless they get some type of federal funding or something like that, can they indeed make up their own rules willy-nilly?
Well, the answer is mostly yes, except that in this case, we argue that they've run afoul of what's called the Privacy Act under Massachusetts law. You are protected from unreasonable infringements on your privacy, and that right to privacy has been applied by the courts in many different circumstances. One of which is employer drug testing. So you as an employer, you can't just do anything you want. You are subject to this law, and if your drug testing of your employees is found to be unnecessary or unreasonable, then an employee is going to win that type of lawsuit. In these cases, it's a case by case basis, and the courts balance the employer's interest in testing their employees against the employee's interest in their privacy, and depending on the circumstances of the case, one side will win out.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is how you can have a policy like that. Give them a drug test, fire them accordingly, and yet never give them a sobriety test, because isn't their point at this company is that, well, we don't want you working in an impeded manner. But wouldn't that be proven by sobriety, such as an alcohol situation, where they give you a sobriety test to see if it's indeed affecting your work?
Yeah, I mean, part of this is the different, it's sort of at the scientific level, certain things that you might ingest, such as alcohol, the next day is gone. It's you get tested, and it's going to come up negative. Whereas marijuana, just because of the how it gets stored in your body, several days later, you're still going to get a positive result, even though you're not impaired.
Yeah, I guess it's not a legal question, but I question why Sodexo would even install that type of policy. They must have had a reason for it, unless they were just, I don't know, spinning a roulette wheel and saying, how can we exert power in people? I mean, I don't know what their point was.
It's hard to know. My guess is that it's an antiquated policy that's been on their books for years, and stems from a time not too long ago when people thought marijuana was some terrible thing, which attitudes are rapidly changing about that. Yeah.
Is your client, do you think, looking for, or are you and your client looking for a settlement, or looking, does she actually want her job back? Sometimes when these things happen, you don't want to work in a company that has that kind of atmosphere to begin with, even if they took her back.
Bernadette actually loved her job. Sure. She loved the people that she worked with. She would love to go back if that's in the cards. It usually does not happen in these types of cases.
Right.
She worked with several other Sodexo employees at this hospital.
Mm-hmm.
All of whom support her very much. They tend to be young people who she managed. These are people that would deliver food to patients' rooms. Like, you know, if you've ever been in a hospital, you get your meals delivered to you. So those folks even started a Free Bernie campaign. They made signs and you know, tried to make a lot of noise, but they found it terribly unfair that she was terminated.
Interesting.
But as I said, that usually doesn't happen in these cases. We'll see what happens.
Okay. For those that aren't familiar, you said that it was an arbitration. What exactly does that mean?
So a lot of times with larger companies, when you get hired, your first day, you might get a visit from someone at HR, and they're going to have you sign a bunch of papers. And in this case, Bernadette signed a whole bunch of papers, was an arbitration agreement saying that if there's any dispute between the company and her, instead of filing a lawsuit in court, she would file it in arbitration, which is unfortunate, but the cards were dealt, so we're gonna move forward with that. Yeah.
You know, there's so many circumstances where people sign long documents, especially when they want a job. They will just sign on the line. They don't take them home and present them to an attorney to say, should I sign this? It just doesn't happen that way. When you want the job, you sign it and you figure everything's cool. And it seems, I'm not saying it's deceptive, but it kind of rolls into that area if it's not explained point by point, rather than just shoving a piece of paper. And I don't know if that was the case, where it's just signed. And I guess that goes for anything. I mean, any type of large purchase you're making, any type of contract. I mean, most of us don't read that line by line.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they, as you said, they shove a bunch of papers in front of you very quickly. You barely look at them. And even if you did look at them and considered them, when you're getting a job, it's what we call unequal bargaining position.
Yes.
You're not gonna make a fuss about it. You're
Correct.
Just gonna sign and,
Correct.
And start your job.
Yeah. Well, her working partners at the company must be pretty pissed at this point. So I guess it's caused some type of revelation anyway, which is sometimes just as poignant as not.
It's been eye-opening, I think, for some at her company. Maybe they didn't even realize that this was a policy. Also people who've heard about this case, who may be working at different companies. Some have asked, well, how do I find out what my company's policy is?
Correct. And that's part of why we're talking today, because people should be aware of A, their rights, and B, what circumstances could arise from things that they didn't even expect. So it's interesting, and good luck to you as far as that's concerned. I wanted to move on to something else that's in the news, and I don't know if you want to comment, but a lot of the conversation now on a national basis has to do with sexual aggression in companies, or experiences one might have had in high school, shall we say. I think you know what I'm referring to. It's a confusing situation for the public, because I don't think they understand. There's no legal aspect to this Brett Kavanaugh situation, as far as I can see it. I mean, this is just a discussion of people coming forward. on a on an important national appointment. But legally, as far as you see it, that's not part of this conversation. Is that right?
Yeah, this is, certainly an employee who is sexually harassed in the workplace or where the there's an atmosphere created in the workplace, hostile. There are legal claims that an employee can bring if the employer is complicit in this, doesn't know anything about it, knows about it. That's not the case with Cavett. But yeah, if you're an employee in a workplace and there's a hostile work environment, there are claims that you can bring.
Yeah.
Don't wait 35 years.
The reason I bring it up is that this Kavanaugh thing might be giving women and even men that are harassed or in a compromising situation, such as Dr. Ford was. It might be giving them the message where if you come forward, you're going to be lambasted like Dr. Ford is, whether this happened or not. But it kind of makes, I think it's even like the priest situation. It kind of makes you think twice about even bringing it up now, because look at what kind of public trouble I can get into. And I think that can be a little damaging. It might shy people away from actually moving forward.
Yeah, every case is different. Circumstances are different. If you're an employee and something like that is happening to you, has happened to you, I guess I would say speak with an attorney, lay out the facts, and ask for advice as to how best to move forward. Any time you make a claim, the other side is going to push back and scrutinize it, and so it all depends on what evidence there is, what happened.
Going back to the marijuana situation, is there a message for people that do smoke marijuana, of which I know tons of people who do?
All of our friends.
Yeah, exactly. Is there a message that you should be careful? Or, I mean, what do we learn out of this beyond what Sodexo is doing here in the position they took? But is this something we should all be concerned about with? We're all employed by private industry. Many of us are. Is this a concern indeed? Do you stop and say to yourself, what do I do here?
That's a good question. I would advise anyone to, number one, figure out what the company's policy is. So that can be a visit to HR. Ask those questions. See the actual document, so you know what you're dealing with. Some companies that do drug tests for marijuana, they may not necessarily fire you if you're positive.
Right.
So it's good to know the lay of the land.
Yeah.
And if what happened to my client happens to you, maybe you
pursue
have a good lead frame. As a last resort, but you know, it's always good to avoid that if you can.
Right. I mean, I certainly wouldn't go to HR and say I smoke pot. Is that okay here? I mean, I wouldn't do that.
Just ask the question. Don't need to volunteer anything.
Exactly. Or let me just see the HR stuff. Just give me a copy of that. I lost mine. Something like that.
Right,
I don't know. Okay. Hey, David, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and I appreciate it. Maybe we can talk again in the future. This is good conversation, because people should just be sure of what they're doing, certainly in a situation that might be a little gray for some companies, so to speak.
Well, happy to talk anytime, Ron. Thanks for having me on.
You take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You as well. Thanks.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.